The best is yet to be for the child of God. Listen, but we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy Jesus.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pursuing God is life's greatest and most rewarding human endeavor. Few Christians would argue with that statement, and yet, for reasons that may vary, many fail to fulfill what they know is God's perfect plan for their lives. They fail to soar like eagles as God intended. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant will finish his message detailing three things that will empower the individual believer to achieve God's designed plan for their lives. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of his message, Life's Greatest Pursuit, Part 2.
Sometimes people make it seem, I gotta wait till I get to heaven to enjoy Jesus. I don't have to wait to get to heaven. I can be fellowshipping with him right now, amen. I can enjoy Jesus right now. Jesus can thrill our souls right now, for although our feet are planted on earth, God by his Spirit can transport us to enjoy the heavenlies. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians, we are seated in a heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right now, amen, right now, we can enjoy worshiping God and experiencing the glory of God. You know, every Sunday we have a great time in united worship. But let's not be small worshipers. Do you know what a small worshiper is? I didn't say a snow worshiper. I said a small worshiper. A Sunday morning only worshiper. And for some Christians, worship is such a low priority, the idea of taking extra time for the Lord's Supper is a definite no. I better leave that alone, lest you say I'm meddling. Some Christians feel, hey, it's big deal enough for me to come every Sunday, but no, you want to really talk about going to the breaking of bread? Yes, yes. Actually, this wasn't really my idea. I think that's what Jesus talked about. Did he say it? Samson was specially blessed by God. But sadly, worship was not on his priority list. You know, when I was studying, it was hard for me to put my arms around this. Samson heard from his parents that God himself had appeared to them to outline his plan for Samson. How special Samson was. And despite all of that privilege, there is no record in scripture that at any time Samson worshipped. That's mind-blowing. Chosen by God. God comes down personally. But Samson had time for everything else, but no time to worship. He had time to party. He had time to womanize. We have room for pleasure. We have room for business. But sometimes there is no room for Christ the crucified. A.W. Tozer, I'm going to put this on the screen. I wish you, A.W. Tozer once said, I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman who is bored or turned off by worship is not ready for what? I didn't write it, so don't throw the stone at me. But it's something to ponder. Because heaven is a place of worship. Am I right about that? Oh, some of us only love to look at the part where it seemed to talk about all the good times we'll have. Yes, we're going to have the good times. But heaven is a place of worship, amen? And does he deserve our worship? Does the Lord deserve to be worshipped, amen? I pray that today, even as we are in God's house and as we're listening, whether it's, you're watching on the live stream or you'll later listen to this message on the radio, I pray that each of us would examine our lives to make sure we are in line and that worship is a priority of our life. That we recognize that we were designed to bring worship and glory to God. What have we said so far? Pursuing God must impact our home priorities. Secondly, pursuing God must impact our priority and worship. And third, and the final thing I want to talk about today, put this down. Pursuing God must impact the focus of our life. Samson had been specially selected and blessed by God with superhuman strength. But instead of using God's blessings to pursue God's purposes, he chose to use it to gratify the flesh. For a while, the good times were rolling. I don't even remember who it was used to sing, "Let the good times roll." But for a while, the good times were rolling. But then things took a sudden turn. And I just want to say in passing, perhaps you're here this morning or you're listening and the good times are rolling right now and the last thing on your mind is God. I want to tell you the good times, one of these days you're going to find yourself flat on your back and you're going to wonder, where is God? Judges chapter 16 verse 4, afterward it happened that Samson loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Whose name was? Delilah. You ever heard of her? And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." Don't miss this. 1,100 pieces per person. Everybody's going to pour in 1,100. Boy, Samson. Well, it wasn't him getting this money. So Delilah. If you meet a girl named Delilah, run. Parents, don't name your kids Delilah. There's nothing flattering about it. Amen. So Delilah, I don't know. Have I met any Delilahs? If you're named Delilah, please don't forgive me. So Delilah said to Samson, it's not your fault that you're named Delilah, okay? So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what you may be bound to afflict you." What a ridiculous question. Because which man is going to tell you? Sadly, love can make you a total fool. Because as we will soon see, Samson became a total fool. Guys, I wish I could park here and talk to my boys. Because sometimes we feel like we're so macho. Watch out for which girl you hang out with. Well, all right, let me go back to preaching. And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other men." So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings and not yet dried, and she bound him with them. All right, let me leave it alone. No, they were lying in wait, staying with her in the room, and she said to him, "The Philistines," let me stop. Because I just need to make a point. You said this was so obvious. Is Samson a fool or what? This woman is trying to tie him up and he keeps coming back. But some of us guys, we hang out with girls. They might tie us up physically. They're tying us up in all other ways. They're messing with our minds. They're pulling us away from God. They're doing all this other stuff. And we're like, where was I? Let me start at verse 9. No men were lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of strength was not known. You see, part of his problem, he was so strong. He figured he could do whatever he jolly went once and get away with it. And I see some of my boys, and they figure, we're so strong. You know, we're so strong. You know, I know what the Bible says, but I'm so strong. I ain't going to fall. I can do this thing by myself. Okay, go ahead. The way of the transgressor is hard. And sometimes when we ought to take heed lest we fall. And we need to obey God. Amen? All right, let's go back. Can we go back? Stop distracting me. You all keep distracting me. Let me preach what is in here before me. Verse number 15. Then she said, Delilah said to Samson, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me 3 times. She went beat him up after all the devious wickedness and have not told me where your great strength lies. Came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Can you imagine? His soul was vexed to death that he told her all his heart and said to her, okay, let me get it over with. Here's the thing. No razor has ever come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I'm shaven, then my strength will leave me and I shall become weak and be like other men. When Delilah saw that, she told them, and of course you knew what happened. Here, verse 20, she woke. He was now tied up. She said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. What a sad story. What a sad story. God had blessed Samson with superhuman strength, but instead of devoting himself to God, he used his strength to womanize and live recklessly. And so here he was, blind, battered, and bound, with no seeming hope of a comeback. You know, the world is full of people like that. They experience God's blessing, but instead of using God's blessing to pursue God's purposes, they decided to pursue their own agenda. Some were raised in Christian homes. Raised in a Christian home, but the lure of the world has pulled them away from the Lord. But despite, here's the good news, but despite how far we go, God still loves prodigals. And one of the reasons I love to preach the word of God is because no matter how far we may go, God still loves us. There is no one on planet Earth that God does not love, because God is love. Samson had showed very little interest in pursuing God's plan and was facing a tragic end, but it ain't over till God says it's over. Amen. It ain't over till God says it's over. So let's just quickly hold your Bible here, because I think we're coming back here. Yes, we're going to come back here just for a moment. But go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. And here's the scripture says, "And you have he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." Please don't miss verse number 3. "Among whom also we" what? All. It's important we don't miss that word all. Because sometimes after we get saved for a while, we can walk with the halo and the head up high. But we were all in the same bag. Amen. We were all in the same bag. We all were once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. It was all about me. It was all about pleasure. It was all about doing my thing. But verse 4, "But God," hallelujah, "but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." That's the game changer. "But God," hallelujah, "but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved." Hallelujah. The chapter of grace. Sansa was a wreck. But the chapter of the grace of God had not yet been written. And hallelujah, no matter how far you are, no matter how messed up you are, the grace of God can turn you around. Amen. The grace of God. And I'm so glad that, you know, sometimes we miss stories like this that show you how far somebody went. It's rare to find somebody who rebelled against God to the extent that this guy rebelled against God. No worshiping, just whoring. But at the very end, don't give up on anybody, because the grace of God can reach anyone, no matter who they are or where they are, no matter what they have done. The grace of God can change lives. So what happened then? Oh, I got to jump over one of the scriptures I was going to go to. But for sake of time, just go to Judges chapter 16. Let's close out the story. Judges chapter 16, verse 21. The Philistines took Samson, put him out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza. Does that place sound familiar? If we had time, we'd develop this a little bit. But you know, this is one of the places that God had given the children of Israel. They were supposed to have cleared the whole place. Some of us don't know that. And if we're not careful, we can make a lot of confused statements. But Gaza, God gave them Gaza, and God had told them to clear the area, but they didn't obey God, and so the people took root. And in fact, the Philistines, the experts tell us that some of the people in Gaza now are the descendants of the Philistines. They bound him with bronze fetters. He became a grinder in the prison. However, this war has been going on a while, hasn't it? The Philistines and the Jews. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered our hand into our hands." Samson, "Our God did it." No. Samson's God had actually delivered Samson into your hands. And God will sometimes do that. If we think we can do whatever we want, God will turn you over to be whipped by the enemy. Verse 24, when the people saw him, they praised their God. You notice the Bible makes it clear it's a little g. You notice it's a little g for God, okay? Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead. So it happened when their hearts were merry. They said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison. He performed for them, and they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who helped him by the held him by the hand, let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, about 3,000 men and women on the roof, while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord. I wonder if you notice anything about that word Lord. Do you notice anything about the word Lord in verse 28? Did you notice it's all caps? This is the first time in the entire story of Samson that Samson calls on Jehovah. Samson is in a bind. Samson is going down fast. And Samson finally calls on the name of Jehovah. He calls on the name of the Lord. Verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. He braced himself against them, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Samson, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people with them. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. Listen, we will never disglorify God, because God is God. Samson had come full circle and had finally called on the name of the Lord. I'm so glad the Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. Your track record may be a mess. Did you know that this man who had lived such a wretched life, or as I hear some people say, a wretched life, a man who had lived such a wretched life. Do you know when you go to Hebrews 11? Do you know his name is there? Samson's name is there because at the very end of the chapter, Samson cries out for Jehovah. Help me, Jehovah. And I'm here this morning to say on the authority of the word of God that no matter who you are or what you have done, if you will come to God in sincerity and truth from the depth of your soul, that you would cry out to God. There is redemption in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's pardon in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of Jesus. And oh, might we respond to the word of God today and turn to him.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.